come on.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about sex.
I was talking to my boyfriend the other day and was talking about things that we all consider quite normal in the realms of sexually what's available and what's the norm. You mightn't be into them, but you know they're out there. You know, porn, toys, different positions, different styles, having a flirt with a member of a gender that you don't normally, you know, I kissed a girl and I liked it kind of stuff. And it really has changed. You know, back in our parents' day, the idea was there was only basically one kind of sex. You were married, you were straight, and you did it missionary style. I don't think there was much oral or anal or mutual masturbation or toys or porn, or certainly if there was any, it was kept very below the surface. It wasn't something that was considered the norm. It was often considered something shameful or hidden or perverted. And now it's amazing what people will consider quite norm sexually to do on your own or in a relationship has just exploded. And we were talking about our children who range from the age of 18 down to 9, what it's going to be like for them. Like perhaps they're going to be doing sexual things that hadn't even occurred to us. So things have changed. And I think that the biggest ones perhaps for the straight community is the way that masturbation and toys have come into bigger mainstream acceptance. Now here to talk about this here in the Atheist Kibbutz on Stay On Your Flower here in the deepest, darkest cesspool of lefty love in the People's Republic of Moreland, as usual, joining with me in the womb to talk about these things is Cindy Darnell, sexologist, sex therapist, sex educator, and founder and creator of Pleasure Salon Melbourne. Hello, Cindy.
Hello, Catherine. Here we are again.
How many dildos do you own?
Oh, gosh. I don't know, about 7, I think, maybe 8.
Who's your favourite? What's your favourite?
I have 2 favourites. I have one which is a very realistic looking one.
So when you say realistic, what, it looks like a dildo or it looks like
a
cock?
No, it looks like a cock. And it's made out of something called cyber skin, and it feels like real skin, and it's actually quite heavy, which I don't know why that's the way it is, but it's
a man inside. Yeah.
And it's got a suction cup on it, so you can back onto it, which is particularly exciting. So that's one of my favourites. The other one is a stainless steel one, which weighs about 1.5 kilos. This is a true story. No. I think you're getting the wrong image.
Industrial strength. It's like caterer's pack dildo.
No, it's stainless steel. It's made by a company called Enjoy. And it's called the Pure Wand, I think. And it's curved like a small sort of barbell. And it has 2 big balls on the end of it. And it's for G-spot stimulation. And it's one of the most extraordinary, exquisite sensations I've ever experienced. I just think that they are one of the finest dildos on the market at the moment.
Now, there's so much to talk about with dildos. I should probably share with you, I started playing Words with Friends with my 10-year-old Hugo, and he set up his account and I said, you start, and his first word was dildo. And I said, dildo, what does dildo mean? And
he said, in the Devaney household.
It's a plastic penis, Mum. And so I didn't know whether to be proud or ashamed. No, I was thrilled. It was great that he knew what it meant and that there was no shame attached to it.
Because
once upon a time there was, and these were things that you hid under beds and people had in sheds. They probably had in the boots of their cars and their glove boxes and hiding with the Christmas tree decorations. And even in my own lifetime, I've seen the discussion of sex toys and masturbation, which is something else we're going to talk about, as not as something that just didn't come up, but something which is discussed quite openly and frequently with both males and both females. So perhaps we should talk about masturbation quickly first. Growing up, the notion of women masturbating was not something that was – we heard a lot about men masturbating, and it was always talked about as something a bit kind of perverted and, you know, that guy's a wanker and look, he's pulling himself and not something beautiful and wonderful and fun. But female masturbation was almost not talked about at all.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think certainly that's becoming a much more open topic. Now, women are much more inclined to even admit that they do it. They'll have discussions with each other about it, certainly the women I hang out with anyway, but that's maybe more of a reflection of the women I hang out with. But women are doing it more and more for a whole bunch of reasons. One of the primary reasons, of course, is because it feels good.
It does, but it's a great stress relief too. I know a story about a family who went away with their teenager over the holidays, and she was sharing a bedroom with her sisters for the first time in a couple of years. And this 13-year-old was getting crankier and crankier as the days, you know, pulled by. And eventually the mum had to pull her aside and said, "Will you go off and have a wank?" And this daughter had obviously been having a great old time in a bedroom on her own and didn't realise just the stress relief and the relaxation that she was getting out of this, you know, regular occurrence. Yeah. So they went down the beach a bit earlier. Mm. She came down half an hour later and she was as pleasant as and making time for that, but also realising the huge benefits that it has to your sense of peace, relaxation, mental health.
The endorphins that it can release are one of the best mood enhancers around. And, you know, I mean, there's scientific evidence to back that up, but it's also just our own experience. We know how good it can feel after we've had a damn good wank. It just takes the edge off sometimes.
But also if we're talking about masturbation and wanking as opposed to having an orgasm with somebody else, what's the benefits of masturbation?
Through masturbation, you can learn more about your own body. You can learn about your own sexual response, what you like, what feels good for you, the amount of pressure that you like. And then through knowing that about yourself, you've got something to communicate to another person. You've got something to share with another person. The other thing too, it can be really erotic to actually watch your partner masturbate. So that's another thing, another skill that you have in your toy box of things that you can do in sex and sexuality when you're sharing with another person. It's not just about sticking it in. There's a whole bunch of stuff that you can do, and masturbation is something that you can do for yourself. It's also something that you can share with a partner.
So. Oh, look, the fallacy that women don't like, you know, to watch men masturbate is one of the greatest myths on earth. I'm sure there's some people who don't and some people who do. But, you know, as I was saying, masturbation culturally, if you look into our arts and our culture and our media, with women it's always considered quite erotic and you rarely see it portrayed in films or on television. Mm. But with guys it's just this kind of, you know, yucky, revolting, you know, pervy, what you can't stick it in a woman so you have to pull yourself kind of thing.
Which is often portrayed with a sense of urgency.
And aggression. Which is just not true. I mean, the women that I know, many, most or possibly all of them really enjoy watching their partner masturbate. And it's not a good way for men to be told that it's this kind of yucky, revolting.
No.
It's a beautiful, wonderful, fabulous thing. Safe and consensual. And it's free. Not, enjoy it.
And it's not inferior to partnered sex. It's just another form of sex that's available to us.
So I was talking to Clementine Ford about this the other day. Mm. And we're going to do a podcast about female masturbation, which is something that we're both really interested in. She did it quite young and discovered it by accident, whereas I was one of the many who was couldn't work out. I could have a play, but I didn't really get anywhere until I was much older. I was probably about 21. She said that she heard that there was a sexologist on Oprah who was saying that particularly young girls should be encouraged to masturbate. And there was this uproar saying this is outrageous because if you teach these girls to masturbate, they'll be incredibly promiscuous. But actually, like, A, what's wrong with that? But actually, it's the reverse, because if they can work out how to do it themselves and get that release, they're not jumping the fence out there trying to find the magic wand to freak themselves off. Me, like many other women of my age, not as many as I thought actually, but I've been talking to people on the streets at the supermarket in the 8 items or less aisle, will say that, you know, it was just like, we couldn't work out how to do it. So it was like, you need a man to do this for you.
Well, I think there is that fallacy that, you know, orgasms and pleasure, especially for women, is something that we wait for someone to give it to us, that we are somehow, you know, just sitting around waiting for pleasure and orgasms to be given to us. Yeah. That it's not an inherent right that we can access it whenever we really want to. And I think that's really about shifting that mindset and shifting that consciousness, that for people to get in a flap about a sexologist on Oprah encouraging young women to masturbate, I just, for me, is nonsensical. I can't see anything wrong with it. If anything, it's an empowering thing to take control of your own sexuality and to enjoy your own body. It's yours. It's the only relationship that you're really going to have for life.
One of the things that we should probably talk about if we're talking about masturbation is children masturbating because, you know, we're all sexual beings. I was talking to my partner about this the other day about when was the first age that you remember feeling aroused. And we talked about being about 6 or 7, maybe 8. And I said, I remember kissing the naughtiest boy at school and actually feeling quite wet, you know. And this is something that people kind of think there's like a sexual awakening. It's like, we're always sexual beings. So if you have a child who is masturbating, I've heard people say things like, to their daughters, don't touch that, it's dirty, or you'll give yourself an infection, or, you know, like just that's awful, that's yucky, that's wrong. What would you recommend to a parent who had a child who was masturbating in an inappropriate... Firstly, if they find them masturbating, what do you say? And secondly, if they're masturbating in a public space or in an in an inappropriate space, what would you say?
I think, I mean, times when I have been in the company of children, I was in a relationship a number of years ago, and there was a little boy who was the son of my partner at the time, and he was helping me cook dinner in the kitchen, and he had his hand down his pants while we were cutting up the carrots. And I said to him, mate, you can't be doing this while we're cutting up the carrots. If you want to go and do that, that's okay. Go and do it in the bedroom, wash your hands, and then come back and we can continue cutting up the carrots. And that was really the end of it. And it's not about shaming him. It's not about making it a big deal. It's not something that I necessarily needed to see. It's probably not what happens in the kitchen when you've got the knives out either. But letting him know that as much as I thought it was a great thing to do, it's not something that he needed to show me, and it's not something that he needed to be doing in the kitchen. And that was certainly sort of the end of the conversation in terms of that. I'm not his mother, so I left that there. But I think it's really about parents being honest with themselves about the fact that children are sexual creatures. And when I say sexual, it's not with the connotations that we place on it as adults. They're pleasure-seeking beings. Children are just hedonists. All they want to do is feel good all the time. And that's why they want to play, they want to run, they want to eat junk food, and they want to play with themselves, they want to touch themselves. And it's not with any agenda, it's not with any kind of issue that they need to exercise, it's just that they want to feel good, and it feels good. And that's why they do it.
I've always said that's a great thing to do. It's a private thing to do. The bedroom's the right place for you to do it. I think that masturbation is a private thing to do, but it's a private thing that you do that you can invite other people to join in on when that's right and if that's right for you. But I think it is something that you can just say to kids. It's a great thing to do. It's a private thing to do. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And so the bedroom's the place for
you. You don't want to be doing it in the line at the bank.
Or the laundry. Or the car. But like a private place.
Yeah, private place where you've also got control over your environment then, and you can really let yourself go and enjoy it. And
with masturbation, we've just quickly gone across saying that it's a really good thing to do because you know how your body's working. You can help a partner. I mean, I feel very sorry for people who are having early sexual experiences with people who haven't masturbated because they're like, there you go. You do it. You've got to be the one that creates the magical stars and the fireworks going off.
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure to put on a partner.
It's a lot of pressure rather than going, that's terrific, a little bit more. Wow, that's amazing. And you can share things that you've found out about your own stuff. You know, I think that maybe every 13-year-old should get a good bottle of silicone lube for Christmas.
Sure.
Or on their 13th birthday so they can exchange all of these things. Safe and consensual, a lot of fun, cheap and easy, you know, a lot of pleasure and so much to be learned about your body and about your non-physical being, your spirit, your soul, your energy, and also your intellect goes with that as well. I think just going back to the masturbation thing, perhaps the way that it was suggested that women don't do it, so it's like, well, they need a man to give them pleasure, but also that men doing it is kind of a bit revolting or a bit pervert or a bit off, perhaps has a religious core to it. It was about straight married sex and only in order to create children, so don't let you leave your seat on the ground.
Sexuality, pleasure and religion have not really had a very good relationship for the last several thousand years.
As David Marr said in the great debate that I saw at the Melbourne Town Hall, you know, that religion has always demonised desire and pleasure, and the body has been enemy number one.
Absolutely,
so that's changing. Yeah. That's what we're doing now with all of this. But masturbation is great so you know what you want, you can share with a partner, and also so you can look after your own needs, that you're not sitting there going, God, I really need to orgasm and I need to feel this pleasure, but I can't do it myself. So that's great. Let's talk about sex.
When that fire starts to burn in. Cindy Darnell, sex therapist, counsellor and sex educator and creator and founder of Pleasure Salon Melbourne, is proud to be associated with Catherine Devaney and Stay On Your Flower to create this series of informative and educational podcasts. Cindy offers therapeutic consultations, writes articles and speaks publicly and at length about the importance of sex and sexuality. Got a question? Tweet or like Cindy Darnell on Facebook or check out her website at www.cindydarnell.com to ask questions in her open forum or book in for a private consultation.
Now, a couple of little questions. If you masturbate a lot to orgasm, can that help you masturbate more, or does that detract from how many orgasms you can have? Like, can it be like a training regime? Like, if you're someone who doesn't orgasm easily or doesn't orgasm as often as you'd like, can masturbation be a gateway to more frequency and more intensity, or is it like using it up and all of the vouchers have gone?
Yeah, no. I don't think we have a finite number of orgasms per person per lifetime, so I don't think that's anything to worry about.
I think George Pell would disagree with you.
But it certainly is something that we can use to facilitate that self-awareness and that knowledge about what we like and what's possible. And it's certainly, you know, for women, accessing different parts of your body, being able to learn more about your G-spot, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago, learning more about clitoral stimulation, and actually even not having orgasm necessarily as a focus, that it's just enjoying a genital massage, a self-provided genital massage.
It is just a massage.
It's actually really fulfilling as well.
But on everywhere but your genital. Tools, it's a massage, but as soon as it gets into your undies, suddenly it's a
there's an agenda
thing.
Behind
it's
it.
Like,
yeah,
when does that? You know, where's that line?
So to actually sort of, you know, in the case of women, just to sort of play with the, if you have pubic hair, to sort of play around with that, or sort of just different levels of pressure tugging on the labia can also feel really nice with no agenda to get to orgasm state or even to get to any kind of arousal, although it may happen. And for men, the same, playing around with the scrotum, playing around with the foreskin if there's a foreskin there, and just applying pressure rather than any kind of urgent, you know, wanking, that can actually you can just enjoy the sensation of touching yourself.
But it also doesn't just talk about, I mean, we talk about nipples, anus, there's a whole lot of other bits and pieces. Yeah. It's not just about penis, vagina.
Talking about toys, certainly anal play is becoming a very, very popular area in the realm of men's sex toys, which we're going to talk about.
I think we should get onto
We can talk about
it
right now, if
I think
like.
We should. We were in a sex shop the other day and I came across the Ass Master, which you may have one of, and it looked like a giant, imagine, you know, one of those garden gnomes. It was like that big, and it was
this seen some of the super
huge
big ones.
Thing. And I'm sure someone would be thrilled for it at Christmas, but you just kind of go, I wonder, how do you get up to that caterer's pack?
Yeah, look, I think, I mean, those sorts of things are novelties, I think, to a degree, but also, you know, it's a seasoned professional who would be playing around with toys that are as gargantuan as that. A lot of the butt plugs that are around are not much bigger than two fingers put together, and you can get even smaller ones than that. So certainly when you're starting off, regardless of your gender, butt plugs are a great thing to do. And I think there's the misconception with butt plugs is that they're not like dildos in that you don't shove them in and out, although you can. But the whole point of a butt plug is that at the bottom it has this flat base, so you can push it all the way into your anus and then it stays there. And it actually really stays there because your sphincter muscle, your ass muscle, will actually contract around the narrowest part of the butt plug, which keeps it in place so you can go about your other business while you're masturbating genitally if that's what you want to do. And it just provides that extra pressure and sensation anally, which for orgasm certainly can provide a whole new wave of pleasure and sensation. So that's one of the benefits of butt plugs.
Now, when we're talking, we've moved from masturbation to sex toys. Now, sex toys can be used in masturbation on your own. See, masturbation is not something that you necessarily do on your own, and nor is sex toys something that you just do with solo masturbation. Mm-hmm. So we're crossing a few areas here. Now, what kinds of sex toys are out there? Tell us about like the top ones that people will run into or seem to be purchasing or interested
in. Well, for men, certainly the ones that are becoming more popular, like we've just been saying, are the butt plugs. Certainly you want to get a silicone butt plug, or if you do end up buying one that's made out of PVC or some other kind of inferior material, you do want to put a condom on it, just because the chemicals that can be in some of these cheaper made butt plugs are really not good for your system, and your anus is really absorbent when it comes to chemicals and that sort of thing. So it's important from a health point of view to know that. For women, the vibrators are still one of the most popular things, and again, it's a misconception. There are dildos, which are the phallic shaped toys, which don't have an engine in them. They are just a phallic shaped toy with which you can put into your vagina or your bum if you want to. Some dildos are mechanized, so they run on batteries or they run off the electricity. But vibrators, generally speaking, when I'm talking about a vibrator, vibrator. It's an external thing. There are enormous things that are about 30, 40 centimeters long that sound like a car engine when they start up, these external vibrators. Then there's also dildos that are motorized that will have stimulation for the G-spot inside them, as well as clitoral stimulators attached to them. And then there's flat vibrators that just sit flush sort of against your vulva that can stimulate your clitoris.
So while they don't enter your vagina, no. They just sit on top.
Yeah, some of them sit on top. And then there's other kinds that you can use during partnered sex as well. So if you have a vagina and there's a penis inside you, it's a stimulator that stimulates your G-spot and your clitoris and stimulates his cock all at the same time.
G-spot, clitoris, cock. It's just the hits just keep on. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
So there really is an infinite world of possibilities out there in terms of sex toys. And what's really, really good now is that particularly in Melbourne and certainly in a lot of the big cities around the world, there are really, really great sex shops that you can go to where the staff are helpful. I think the days of the sleazy kind of sex shop where there's the, you know, the guy in the sunglasses and the pork pie hat and the raincoat, they're kind of behind us now, which is great. A lot of women are working in sex shops now. The range of toys that's available is fantastic and constantly changing.
Now, just tell us a couple of good ones that you can suggest in Melbourne.
Sex toy shops?
Sex shop, yep. For people who just like going, you know what, I've always been interested in that. I've wanted to go to a place where I feel comfortable. I like listening to Cindy talk. Where would she go? Where would she send me?
Okay, my two favourites in Melbourne, one of them is called Device, which is on Bridge Road in Richmond, just up the top end near Hoddle Street. It's run by women and the girls in there are just fantastic. It's
and they deal with
lit.
Guys too?
They also deal with guys as
straight,
well.
Hetero, straight, hetero, bi, gay, queer, all kinds. Intergender. Yep.
Absolutely. It's for everybody. It's really well lit, floor to ceiling, open windows. There's nothing sleazy about it. They also run workshops out the back there as well. So they're fantastic. And if you're not really comfortable with going into a shop, online is Bliss for Women, which is run by Maureen Matthews.
That's been around for a long time.
And she was one of the first in Australia.
Was she in Carlton originally? I've never been
to the
shop.
Her shop used to be on Lonsdale Street, but the shop's closed down now. The physical shop's closed down, but she still has an online shop. So it's blissforwomen.com. And she's got a fantastic range of videos and sex toys and all sorts of...
Is it females?
Accoutrements for women there.
Like, is it more towards women than...
Yeah, well, the store's called Bliss for Women. So
is it... Straight women, gay women, or
it's all women,
kind of women,
all kinds of women. So, yeah, and in terms of the toys for men, so we were talking about butt plugs, that's the thing. There's a lot of other sort of internal vibrators now that men can purchase, which are prostate massagers that I've seen one that's kind of like a U shape and you insert it into your anus and then there's a control that sits outside your body and you can press the button like a joystick and it alters the speed and the pressure and the pulsating, which is
and
a really...
And you can play Super Mario at the same time.
A really popular one for men. Other things, the brand name is called a fleshlight. They're sort of what we call sleeves that actually go over the shaft of the penis.
Oh,
and they're again
those.
Made out of this sort of cyber skin stuff, which is really soft and squishy and yummy. And using that in conjunction with your favorite lube can be a really fantastic thing to do. You can use it in conjunction with a butt plug, so you've got everything happening
so
all
at
once.
So it's kind of like I was going to say a vagina, but I mean it could be an anus. So you've got this feeling of it's going
it's
into
a
skin,
enclosed, tight,
orifice,
wet sort of thing. And then there's also sleeves that are mechanized so they vibrate and they actually just stay on your cock so you're completely hands-free, so you can just sort of lie back and think of whatever it is that you want to think of.
Flick the telly.
Watch the football.
Update
drink a beer.
Your Facebook status.
And, of course, cock rings, which are either sort of rubber or plastic rings or even metal in some cases that sit around the scrotum and the cock that can actually enhance the quality of the erection. They can keep an erection for longer or that they just provide an extra level of stimulation. And there's different ways that you can wear them. Going online and having a look at the different ways that you can wear them.
And there's ones that are really level too that you can that guys can use so that can increase their pleasure, but also as the male or female, I suppose, but like I'm thinking clitoris here is being penetrated, the ribbed section of the cock ring is passing the clitoris at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of, you know, rib for her pleasure.
Yeah. Yep.
Kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. If you're using condoms for, you know, disease control and, you know, contraception, how does that work with toys?
In terms of if you're sharing toys between partners who you're not monogamous with or you're not, you know, you haven't had tests or whatever together, it it's absolutely fine. You just put condoms on the toys.
Right, okay.
It's easy peasy.
And I don't want to get too into the cleaning of them, but whenever toys come up, you always say silicone toys, definitely, but never use silicone lube on them. If you use silicone, you will damage your toys.
It deteriorates the toys.
So you can either use a good water-based lube or you can put a condom over the silicone toy.
Yep. Absolutely, yeah. And silicone toys, what's good about them, the ones that are not that don't have motors in them, you can boil them if you want to. I've found that you don't really need to. I mean, that's...
Well, I found you didn't need to boil baby's bottles. You just kind of, you know, wash them.
But, you know, as long as you wash them, you keep them clean, keep them dry, then they're fine. Oh, the other thing with dildos, in addition to the silicone ones, there's a lot of ones now that are made out of glass and made out of stainless steel, which are fantastic. They provide a very, very different sensation to sort of cyber flesh or silicone ones. They can be warmed up. They can be cooled down. Some people like to put them in the freezer for an extra kind of depends, you know, experiment with those sorts of things. What's particularly fantastic with those is that they're not porous at all, so the risk of having any kind of germs or infections on them is virtually zero. Again, if you're sharing them between partners and between orifices, you do need to keep condoms on them. And of course, if you're using the same toy for anal play and vaginal play, you cannot go from the anus to the vagina without really thoroughly washing it, because the flora that exists in the anus, if it gets into the vagina, can be quite
icky. Can you take a condom off and put a different one on?
Easy peasy.
That's all fine.
And that's
so
all done.
You just kind of pull it out of the anus, put a different condom on.
Using, and you want to use it in both situations. When you're doing anal with a condom on it, vaginal, you don't need a condom.
Yeah.
If it's just for you, if you're sharing, then you would need to, if you're not in a monogamous relationship.
Yeah. Okay. So how about introducing, you know, you can use toys on your own and in a relationship. How do you introduce them into a relationship? Like, if you're starting a relationship and you've got a whole bunch of toys that you'd like to use, it will probably come up in those early heady days. What if you've been in a long-term relationship, you know, a relationship for quite a while where you're fairly familiar with each other, but you suddenly, as we always talk about, expand yourself sexually and try different things. And I'm sure, and I hope there's somebody out there listening saying, I've always wanted to use one of these with my partner. I don't know where to start. How would that conversation sound?
Well, it depends again on the way that you do communication, but you could say little things like, I saw this the other day in a magazine, or my friend such and such told me about this thing that she's been using. And introducing it in that way, just sort of letting your partner know that you are interested in exploring it and testing the waters to see how that kind of information is received, would certainly be the best thing to do. And making sure that it's done, you know, choosing the right time, choosing the right situation, maybe not dropping it on them while you're sort of in the middle of working out your finances. So to make sure that you've got their full attention and that the time feels right to do it, and that it's done in a way that's not threatening, that's not meaning that I'm not satisfied with what you've got. I just want to add something else into it as well. And I think this is something that could be good for both of us.
I think there might be people out there who would be kind of fearful, which I suppose is more about psychology than about our sex discussion here, who would be fearful about wanting to introduce it into a conversation because they might be worried about what their partner's response is. Like, you know, what if there's a guy out there who'd like to talk about his female partner using a strap-on or using a butt plug, or both of them using butt plugs, or that kind of thing. But I suppose there's no yes or no answers to that. But
that
I think
kind
you
of
might
thing
be
is
quite,
about relationship dynamics and,
you might
and communication.
Be quite surprised. Yeah. Like when I first started having these kind of conversations, nobody really owned up to having a dildo or owning a dildo, whereas now it's like it's a bit of who hasn't. Do you think that our accessibility to online shopping has made sex toys more common?
I think that's certainly one of the factors that has made it, yeah, definitely much more accessible. I've just finished reading a book called A Billion Wicked Thoughts, which is about people's use of erotica on the internet and the kind of things that people access, and how this stuff that Kinsey looked at in the 40s that people were so terrified of admitting that they were interested in, that now with the benefit of the internet, that everything is anonymous and you can access whatever you want whenever you want, and sex toys is one of them, that you can go into a store and touch them and feel them and smell them and put batteries in them and see how it's going to go. Or if you don't want to do that, or you live in the countryside and you can't get into the big city to go and buy dildos, that you can still buy them online. And I think that's just such a fantastic thing, because it's like buying yourself a new scarf or a new hat or a, you know, whatever. It's just, it's a great thing to have. They're adult toys. And remember how much fun we had as kids when we got a new toy? I know whenever I get a new toy, I'm very excited to get home and use it myself.
So. I know that straight women talk about these things fairly openly, and gay men do. What about straight men? Like, I mean, a lot of the tips that I've picked up in this kind of area have been from just, I've got this great new toy, or have you seen this? We went to a sex shop the other day, really bad sex shop, and And the guy there, though, was fantastic. He knew all of his stuff. He knew it back to front. Yeah. And he was fascinating. He said, this is one of the things you don't get online is the personalized.
Absolutely, yeah.
Information. He knew his products. He knew what was selling well. He knew, you know, he asked us what we liked, what we didn't like, what we tried, what we hadn't tried. And he was really interesting. I mean, it was a shame that he was working in such a dodgy shop, but if, you know, you can go online and have a stab and go, oh, that looks like a bit of fun, or you can talk to your girlfriends, or if you're, you know, a female and, you know, people who seem to be same sex attracted seem to be more open about discussing these things. Of course, not in every circumstance. But what about straight men? Where is the place where they can talk about butt plugs or pegging or lube or dildos or vibrators or prostate massages?
Well, unfortunately, we live, particularly in Australia, we live in a culture where there isn't much space for them to do it. And it's not that there shouldn't be. It's just that there isn't. And
do you think that's a place for women to kind of surprise them with a little treat, or just kind of go, look, I just thought you might be interested in this, and, you know, to open up the discussion to say to these straight guys, it's okay?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it would be great through the media, through men's magazines, for that sort of thing to become more of an option, that to be able to flick through a men's magazine and see ads for these kinds of things would be fantastic.
Do you think that will happen?
I do, actually, yeah.
Because we are becoming more open as a society.
Well, even I just think in the last 10 or 15 years, the increase in men's personal grooming, these, you know, beauty salons that are all kind of unisex now, and men actively buying beauty products for themselves, face creams and hair potions and things.
But not just that, but manscaping too. Yeah, manscaping is massive. My lady with the laser, she sees as many men as women do, and as many straights as gays.
Absolutely. And it's becoming more and more of a thing, that there's nothing sort of unmasculine about wanting to take care of yourself. There's nothing unmasculine about wanting to pleasure yourself. It's just another thing that has been accessible to women for a number of years and is finally now becoming accessible to men.
More,
and I think it's fantastic.
More an extension of going to have your hair done or buying makeup or moisturiser.
Self-pampering,
as opposed we've got to get the guys to go from getting a jet ski and getting a, you know, a motorbike or, you know, whatever it is that they, you know,
get
instead
a
of sitting around
a motorbike
talking,
and a butt plug. Why not?
Instead of sitting around talking about the wine they've drunk, you know, pulling out their toys and cleaning. How do you clean them?
How do you clean sex toys? Depending on what they're made from, if they have a motor in them, you need to wash them very carefully just with soap and water, warm water. If they're silicone, you can boil them, but I think washing them is often just enough. And the steel and glass ones just need to be washed in warm, soapy water. Drying them is really important. So,
just quickly before we go, glass. I know there's dildos and I know there's butt plugs that come in glass.
Mm-hmm. They're solid.
I know, but still, that looks like
glasses.
A bit of fun, but glass and, you know, genitals.
Yeah.
You know, you just think this is not going to end well. But clearly, because they're everywhere.
I have not heard of a casualty involving a glass dildo yet.
Yet. You may be the first.
I may be the first. And you'll hear about it here, I'm sure.
Toy Story here. Thank you for joining us again. Today we've been talking about masturbation and sex toys. If you weren't listening, if you were nodding off during the butt plug section and the ass master, here with Cindy Darnell on Stay On Your Flower here in the People's Republic of Moreland at the Atheist Kibbutz. Thank you for joining us again, and we'll see you next time.
Come on.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that make me.
Audio production by Anthony Artman. Artsystems@gmail.com.